Thank you, Leanne. We have a reading this morning from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will we harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on his children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. For as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord for his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his domain. Praise the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. I'd just ask Donnie to share with us this morning.
Psalm. In Psalm 90 it says, verse 2, before the mountains were, or the earth even, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. And so we serve an everlasting God from from everlasting to everlasting. We go on into Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And if you want an idea of what Adam was like, well, let me tell you, he wasn't a man with his arms down to his ankles, with a club in one hand and dragging his woman out from a cave. He was made in the image of God. And he was highly intelligent, as we know by Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says that God formed the beasts of the earth and the birds, and he brought them to Adam to name. And whatever name Adam gave them, that was what they were called. And if we go on into chapter 3 of Genesis, we come to an unavoidable truth of history, and that is the fall of mankind, which we are all part of. Now, if we turn to Exodus, we find that Israel is in Egypt, and it's interesting that John mentioned about the world and the weeds in the world. Actually, Egypt is a type of world, okay? So you'll find that the children of Israel always were talking about wanting to go back to Egypt after they'd been delivered, and so we're going to have a wee look at that. It says that the descendants of Jacob were enslaved in Egypt. They spent 430 years in Egypt before they left. So the Pharaoh that arose had forgotten Joseph, who had caused the deliverance of the people in that known world from the famine that was that lasted for 7 years. And so the Pharaoh had forgotten after a number of hundred years, which is understandable that Joseph was part of that and the children of Israel. And he enslaved them and they became slaves to the Egyptians. And we find that here that Moses is sent by God to deliver Israel from Egypt. And so came all the plagues, and finally there came the plague of the angel of death, and the children of Israel were instructed to kill a lamb per family and to take the blood and put it on the doorposts. You're probably familiar with that story. But in Exodus 12:46, God also instructed Moses to make sure that they never broke a bone in that lamb. All right, neither shall you break a bone thereof, it says. And of course, you'll know that when Jesus was on the cross, there was a thief on each side of him. And of course, when the day came when they wanted to get rid of the bodies off the cross, the thieves were still alive, and they came to the first thief and broke his legs. And when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. And that's why they put the spear in his side. And so no bone was broken in Jesus' body. And this is a sort of a picture of the Passover from the angel of death to us, really, to the forgiveness of our sins and our Adam nature. So the children of Israel were told to be prepared to leave Egypt, and they were all ready in their houses with the blood on the doorposts, and the Egyptians forced them out, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So the Egyptians gave them gold and whatever to take with them, and they went to the Red Sea. It says that in Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18, that God didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines, even though it was close. And the reason was, in case of war, that they would return to Egypt. But he led them by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And so you can imagine that before the Suez Canal was there, they could have gone that way and up probably what we would know the area as where the Palestinian areas, and just gone out of my mind, but into the that area. And it's interesting that I may have told you this before, that in one of the old encyclopedias at home, it says that Palestine actually means the land of the Philistines, and so that's still relevant for today. So anyway, the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians suddenly thought, well, we better get this crowd back again to do the work for us. So they went after them with their chariots, and Israel became afraid, which is understandable. And Moses said, don't be afraid, you'll see the deliverance by God's hand. And it's indicated in this area here, and I'm just sorry I haven't got the reference, but that the Israelites said to Moses, look, while we were back in Egypt, didn't we tell you we didn't want to go? And this is something that recurs over and over again. And you'll find that actually, once they crossed the Red Sea, they actually on six different occasions said, we want to go back. Now, there might have been other occasions they mentioned Egypt, but there was six different occasions they said, we want to go back. So anyway, they crossed the Red Sea, and the Egyptians followed them, and the wall of water was on one side and wall of water was on the other side, so they weren't just paddling. And it was the Egyptians followed, and of course the water closed back over and the Egyptians were drowned. And it says that they witnessed the dead bodies of the Egyptians on the seashore. Now from there they travelled 3 days, just 3 days. Now you've got to understand, they've seen the plagues, they've seen the deliverance, they've seen the Egyptians army destroyed in the sea, and they have just travelled 3 days into the desert, and they say this. If I can just get the reference. I don't see it here. But anyway, they start complaining about not being able to get food, and so God gave them manna from heaven, and they had that. And so at that time, they were given the law, all right? So they were in the desert, and they had the manna, and they were given the law. And in Leviticus 17, it says, and it's this sort of, I think, explained why they needed the blood. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And if you're not sure what atonement means, it means to cover, to cleanse, to pardon, and forgive. So the blood means to cover the sin, to cleanse the sin, to pardon the sin, and to forgive. Now in Ephesians 1 verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And in verse 7 of the same chapter, "In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now Jesus testified of God's nature when he said in Luke 6, 35, that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Well, if we go back to Numbers 6, 23 to 26, we find this is what God told Moses to do and to say to Israel. And you'll be familiar with this, I'm sure. He said, "Tell the Israelites, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord to make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And surely the world needs peace today. But did Israel seek God's blessing? Well, actually, in Numbers chapter 11, you'll find they started complaining about the manna that God had sent. Said, "Back in Egypt, we had cucumbers and garlic." My goodness, they were in a bad way. So, if we go to Numbers chapter 21, 5 to 9. Say, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, he shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Okay, now we're going to fast forward, and it's actually about 600 years. All right? So now we're going to go right to 2 Kings 18, 1 to 5. And we have here a great guy, the king of Israel, Hezekiah. Great man. Brought water into Jerusalem, and just a great fellow. Okay, so Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother name also was Abi, the name of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and he broke images, and cut down the groves, and he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. Okay, this antique that they had kept for nearly 600 years was a bondage of idol worship. Nations are bought and sold into bondage by idol worship. I don't know if you've seen the documentaries the National Geographic has put on with Morgan Freeman, the actor. It's called The Story of God. They give God a capital G, I give it a small g because of what I saw. I haven't seen it all, I only saw small bits of two of them. And one of them was he traveled to different places in the world to find out what people were worshipping. And Egypt, and he went to the North American Indians, and one I saw, he went to India and showed them burning the dead by the river there. Pretty sad situation. And but basically what you have with National Geographic is three principles. I heard them advertising this, so it must be right. The three principles that National Geographic was established on was history, science, and storytelling. And I think they do the last one quite well. And I'm sure that, anyway. Someone said there was really only two religions in the world. One says, by mankind's efforts, one can please God. The other is that God himself has made it possible by the once forever sacrifice of Jesus Christ, cursed on the cross, that we might be blessed. Jesus died that we might have life. Death could not hold him, and at that time there was despair, but Jesus brought hope. He was condemned, we were forgiven. At the cross, there is a transfer of my sin to Jesus and Jesus' righteousness to me. And I can't say it as well as this, but I read in the Word for Today some time ago, and this is what I thought I'd read to you. Until you understand how God views you, you will struggle for his approval and worry that you never measure up. Is that how you feel today? If so, meditate on the following scriptures and let them remove your doubts. Through him, we become acceptable and in a right relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Unworthiness is one of the greatest weapons Satan has against you, so take it out of his hands. In a sense, God has put a screen between you and himself. It's the blood of Jesus. And when he looks on you through the screen, he sees you as righteous and forgiven of all sins. That's why we call it amazing grace. Righteousness standing before God, acceptable to God, will be credited to us who believe in and trust in and adhere to and rely on God. Romans 4:24. Did you get that? All you that put your trust in Christ. As a Christian, there's a difference between your position and your condition. When you sin, it affects your condition. But your fixed position is in Christ. You say, but what about my shortcomings? That's your condition. And the Holy Spirit is working on you every day. It's called transformation, which means to change form. It is a daily process, and while you're in that process, God views you as righteous. In other words, righteousness isn't a performance, but a position. And God puts you in that position the moment he saved you. And now you know where you stand with God. Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. No other name under heaven given among men whereby man must be saved. I can just compare a couple of scriptures here. I heard this spoken by Derek Prince some years ago, and it always impressed me, so I'd like to just compare these two scriptures with you. The first one is in Matthew 10, and it's 29 and 31. And it says here, Jesus speaking, and he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father." Okay, so we go then to Luke 12, 6 and 7. And Jesus is speaking. And this time, there's a difference. It says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Now the second one, if you have one farthing, you get two sparrows. If you have two farthings, you can get five sparrows. Now I understand there's three more to pluck and gut, but, you know, it's a better deal, isn't it? But as Derek Prince pointed out, one of those sparrows is free, or it's worthless. And what does it say about the sparrows? Not one of them is forgotten before God. Now, you know, we meet people through life, and some of them, what we think, pretty well are worthless. But not one of them is forgotten before God. And we're called to be witnesses. A month ago, I met a family from Belgium. They were at Pokerel Lear trying to get self-serve fuel, and they were having a bit of trouble. And I spoke to the father, and he had reasonably good English. And we spoke for a while. He was interested in the barns. He said there didn't seem to be many barns for wintering stock around. Then his wife came along, and she spoke very good English. And we would talk for a while, and I mentioned the Bible. I just used the word Bible, and she repeated that as though she didn't understand it. And I said, "The Christian Bible." And with that, she turned and walked away. Now, sometimes that's what will happen in life if we, you know, go to tell people about Christ. But I think we need to do it, because that's what the Lord has given us to do. And in Proverbs 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and those who win souls are wise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know all things. You know our deepest thoughts. We just pray, O God, that you would teach and lead each one of us, that we may be your witnesses, and that we would see the harvest come in, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every person here today, and that your will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen.